We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hey, you guys, we are here back at Virtually Limitless. I am Justine Mader, your co-host for the podcast, and I am beyond thrilled to bring you just a boss couple today. We have two entrepreneurs that are serving the lives and businesses of people across the globe, specifically mothers. During nap time, they are building empires during this small amount of time with focused laser priorities. And guys, I have Stephen and Chelsea in the house. They are here to share their journey of the Rainmakers Academy and so much more. Without further ado, Stephen, Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Justine, for having us. We're so honored to be here and just to share more with your listeners about our journey.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, it's going to be so great, you guys. So for people that don't know about you, you know, you're kind of big leaders on Instagram and all the kind of fun stuff, right? And for those of you that aren't watching this in the video, they've got the great plaques in the background of ClickFunnels, just showing kind of results and whatnot. What would you like to share just kind of as a short story of where you were to where you are now? Like it's, you know, I'm sure we could talk for hours, do a whole seminar, but just to give people a glimpse into who you fabulous people are, I would love for them to hear.
Totally. Yeah. So we kind of cut our teeth, so to say, in the wedding industry. So we started a wedding business right out of college, actually in college before we were married. We kind of just fell into it. I was always into creative stuff, videography, you know, all those things. And just being into that, I had a friend ask me, hey, you want to shoot my wedding? I'm getting married this weekend. It was like 3 days before. And I was like, sure. Like you pay for my gas, you drive there, I'll do it. And kind of with weddings, well, with a lot of businesses, right? Like you do a good job, it leads to more business. So that was kind of the deal with weddings. Like after that one wedding I did, this is just college gig, just create some side income. You know, it led to another wedding and another wedding. And then I roped Chelsea into it. I was like, hey, you should do photography. And you know, she was really into photography at the time. And so we launched this wedding business. We did videography, photography, and we still actually do that to this day. We have five weddings next year. So we still do weddings.
Wow, so cool.
I know, yeah. I mean, we've gone from having, let's say, 50 weddings a year to having a lot less and really buying back our time. Because in that wedding process, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs kind of fall into this, you kind of just become the person who does the thing. And, you know, I had the profile photo with me and my camera and, you know, it's like, it was my identity. It was like, I'm the person who does the thing. And it was really hard to separate ourselves out of that and kind of, you're limited because we could only work so many weddings. We couldn't do two weddings on a Saturday. You can only do one. And we had, you know, 1 year where we did a lot of doubleheaders, Saturday, Sundays, up all night, charging batteries and driving between gigs. And, you know, it really was that moment of like, you know what, like this is kind of, this job has a ceiling, you know, and we had really kind of reached that ceiling and also dreaming about having a family at the time. We had this crazy wedding season. We had 45 weddings and really hitting that like almost like burnout moment where we weren't outsourcing a lot of the business. We're still DIYing a lot of it. And we were like, there's no way we could, like the business was the baby. We couldn't like have a family, start a family, have, you know, children, because this thing took over. And so that's really what took us on this path of, okay, let's learn to buy back our time. Let's learn to hire people. Let's outsource editing and things like that, busy work, so we can free up our time. And that's also when I started kind of experimenting with other sources of income, just stuff outside of the wedding business, stuff to pair with the wedding business. And that's what kind of led us down this whole route of entrepreneurship and e-commerce and Amazon. And it's so fun to look back and see how everything really leads to the next thing.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm sure it was so crazy too, you know, when you originally get married to and you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to do this. You already had the business before your relationship went in that direction, right? But like to see how things have changed and who you become along with that, I think your vulnerability and sharing that your identity was so wrapped up in the thing that you did, you couldn't be the person that you were called to be at the same time. And I just think that's such a word for people that are feeling stuck in that place. It doesn't have to stay that way. It all boils down to your choices and how you honor those priorities. And I would love to hear, you know, how, you know, that was so complimentary what you guys did, the photography, videography. I actually know a couple of couples. Couples. Wow, that's a great tongue twister. A couple of couples that have found just so much harmony in creating that kind of a duo. It's so fun to see. But I would love to hear, you know, with outsourcing and, you know, delegating and, you know, starting new things, that's freaky. That's just kind of scary because you let go of the control, right? We want to hold everything and be like, it's better if I do it, it'll be done right. I know it's going to happen if I say I'll do it. You know, what was that experience like for both of you to go through? That's probably huge.
Yeah, it was very different for both of us. I think Stephen naturally saw the idea of buying back our time. Really realizing, although I am a great editor, Stephen is an amazing video editor, like there are other people that could do just as good of a job while it freed me up to do other things. And I think for Stephen, it really made him sit down and think about his process and how do I communicate well to somebody who I'm hiring exactly how I want something done. So I think it made your gears start thinking about how do I communicate better. And then for me, I would say I had huge hurdles that I think a lot of people and mamas especially can relate with. I feel like there's this idea that as a business owner and even a mom, like you have to do it all. Like,
yes. Yes.
I don't know why. I think maybe it's a generational thing. I know for like my family growing up, like my parents didn't have a lot of extra money to spend to hire. So my mom did everything. And so I watched her do that. And I just thought that that's what you need to do. Like you need to cook and clean and like do all the things. And for me personally, it wasn't until I paid and went to an amazing photography conference. And there's this amazing photographer that I looked up to. And in her talk, she talked about outsourcing. And I had heard about it and Stephen was trying to get me on board. But it wasn't until somebody on stage who I looked up to said, hey, I actually outsource all these things in my business. And I outsource house cleaning and like it has freed me up. And she went into all of these just aha moments for herself and then for me. And so it gave me the freedom to just say, hey, like you can't do it all and you need help and it's okay. And so if I could say that to anybody right now, like it's okay. You can release control of things. And it is a process. It wasn't overnight that everything was outsourced and perfect, but those baby steps. And in that year, almost burnt out specifically with weddings, as we began to outsource like some of our editing, I could literally feel the weight melting off of my shoulders. And I knew that we needed to do it. And there is such peace and such, just getting your life back and knowing that my relationships didn't have to suffer because I was up all night editing. And that gave me a lot of confidence moving. So I'm very thankful that that foundation in our business was started of outsourcing, because now as a mom, we have a little 1-year-old, like there are things just around our home that we outsource. And I don't feel the guilt that I think a lot of moms do. If anything, I'm the friend cheering you on saying like, how can you outsource? Like go on a date night, like hire a friend to watch your kiddos so you can have an hour of silence or whatever it is. So our journey is definitely different, but we learned from one another.
Oh, that's so huge. And the thing is that I can just tell even in this conversation, you know, as Stephen's nodding, for those of you that aren't watching video, Stephen's nodding over here being like, I felt that, I went through that. Yes, I tried to tell you, you know, it's so crucial, especially for couples in business, to realize that your mutual communication, you know, as a couple may look different in your relationship versus the actual business, you know, that conversation was couple to couple, you know, person to person, so that you could build that business that you were trying to create. It's not that you weren't enough. It's It's not that you, you know, were causing greater problems. It's that he was trying to build that opportunity for you to grow into that space and be like, hey, we're building this business and I want you at my side. How can we free you up mentally, physically, spiritually to be where you want to be? I think that is just so powerful. And for, you know, the men and women listening today, if this is your moment where your spouse or your loved one or partner needs to listen and be like, hey, I'm here to support you, but I don't want you to have to lift the world's weight on your shoulders. I don't want you to have to do that. So what can we let go of so that you can rise up to that next level? Oh, that was so powerful. So with, you know, I have two little ones, two little boys actually, and I just got out of NICU. So I know what it's like to have a busy life with priorities. How did that kind of sequence go between for you guys, deciding what was, you know, important to outsource and what was important for you to keep? Was it what you enjoyed? Was it, you know, the biggest needle mover? How did you guys go through that? Because people are like, okay, I get it, Steve, Chelsea, I'm supposed to outsource. Now what?
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I love the question. I think I heard this from Russell Brunson. He said
almost everything. So probably,
yeah, he probably said it, but he probably heard it from someone else too.
True that.
But basically he's saying, how do I give myself a raise today? How do I give myself a raise today? And so really like identifying what are those like top mover tasks that you're really uniquely skilled to do. But in that, there are some lies that a lot of people believe about themselves. Like when I was editing my own videos, I was like, I'm good at editing. Like I, you know, I deliver a video, the brides are crying, you know, like it's just like yes, the best thing ever. Right. But when I came to outsourcing, I was like, oh, well, no one could edit like me. Really, if I really dug into that, it was like, I'm basically saying I'm the best editor in the world. Like, is that what
it's
I'm
almost
saying?
Almost like an insecurity.
Yeah, like so, yeah. And so it really, like Chelsea said, it forced me to break through these mental hurdles of like, no, wait, I'm just not actually good at communicating what I want when it comes to my editing. And so when I sat down with the editor and I was like, and also I had the mindset of like, there's not love at first hire, so to say. It's like a relationship. You got to build a relationship. You got to like communicate, not just assume the person will read your mind, right? Because I think a lot of people try outsourcing higher level tasks, creative tasks, things like that. And they just don't work right away. So they're like, oh, well, I'll just do it myself. I'll just take over, you know? Yes. And so with editing, I really had to kind of fight over that and really look at our videos and be like, okay, this is our style. Like we do this, we do this, we do this. This is a thing. And I created actually a document. Like this is embarrassing to admit, but I literally just learned what an SOP is like 6 months ago.
I was going to say, it sounds like an SOP.
I didn't know what that was. So I was just naturally doing this. I'll just make a Google Doc and describe it. Someone told me that like, you know, 6 months ago, I was like, oh, wow, that's what those are. So like
learning.
I said,
I mean, hey, let's do that.
Always learning. Yeah. So I created a document and that was a big release for me because that's a task that I thought only I could do. And when I started outsourcing that, it actually gave me a raise because I stopped editing wedding videos, which allowed me to take on commercial clients. And commercial clients, I was able to shoot these higher ticket kind of packages for these commercial clients. And I loved editing those videos because wedding videos, they're really fun, but it's kind of like the same puzzle pieces and putting them in a different puzzle piece. Like it's like the same elements. You have to be creative with the same elements. Commercials was like a whole new thing. And commercials was which really led us to e-commerce because we did a lot of Kickstarter videos. And then that got me hooked on e-commerce.
Connecting
and
the dots.
Everything. Yeah. So
I love it.
Yeah. I think to answer your question in short, list out the stuff you're doing. Like, I think if you can just be aware of what you're doing throughout a day or throughout a week and just listing it out. And then I think this is a tip that we got from that photographer. Just go through that list and start circling minimum wage tasks. Minimum wage tasks. Like, oh, wow, I was filling out that spreadsheet for like data entry for like, you know, 20 minutes. That's a $10 or what, I don't know what minimum wage is where you're listening, but you know, in California, it's a little more expensive, but that's a minimum wage task there. Right. So then we would find people to do those things, find who's for your to-dos, you know, find the college kid down the street who wants to, you know, have a job and hire them. And that is really how we started, was like with those low ticket kind of things, quick wins. And sometimes it was like house stuff too. Like, if we hire someone to do something at the house, that's going to free us up to do stuff in the business. And then we work our way up from there on the kind of like the skill level tasks to the higher rate stuff. Yep. But I think that's a really simple way to do it. Just list out the stuff you're doing, circle the lowest, like easiest quick win stuff that you're already doing and start there.
And outsourcing totally morphs as your business grows, because now, like right now, Stephen and I are in the process of hiring like an executive assistant, like for Stephen. And we are so excited because certain things in our business have just been taking over, and it grew over time. Like in the beginning, we didn't, well, I mean, I guess you could argue if we needed it then or not, but
right.
And now it's like, oh my gosh, this part of our business that yeah, Stephen is good at, but it's not his best use of his time. Mm-hmm. So even then, like with this hire, like I feel like for me personally, like I've still had to overcome some of those mental barriers in that hire, because it is a higher ticket thing. You're trusting somebody more. But I also see from all of those outsourcing way back when, like how that's going to free up our life. And I see like Stephen is spending way too much time on this. We need to like let it go. So I think in every stage, whether you're a six-figure earner, seven-figure earner, like there's always going to be a little bit of mental barriers and just new things that you're learning about, like, oh wow, now it's time to like have these people doing this thing that I used to do, you know.
So incredible. It's like, you know, letting yourself almost like shed that skin to like grow into the next version of yourself. It's like, you know, having to leave some things behind, not that they don't matter, but they don't matter enough to be on your plate. You know, we only have, you know, so much room in our hands. We can only carry so much. So I love that transformational story, and yet tangible, actionable steps that people can take to figure out what those, money-making opportunities are that only you can do. And then the things that you can delegate, because that's where you're not only going to scale, but you're also going to feel that inner peace that Chelsea so powerfully shared earlier. You know, there's nothing more valuable, I believe, as a wife and mom and individual than inner peace. And, you know, whatever's robbing you of that, we need to find that source. And whether that's starting in a, you know, belief that's blocking you, you know, whatever that case is for you, these are some really great tips and ideas for you to apply to yourself and kind of discover what that looks like for you in your business. I would love to ask too, like, you know, it's one of those things I feel like for women, especially Chelsea, so I'm going to direct this question to you. We can't win. If you work, you're a bad mom. If you stay at home, you're a bad mom. If you don't have kids, you're a bad mom. Like you're not even a mom then, you're probably just a cat mom. But like how did you overcome some of those barriers of, you know, just kind of social norms to be like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do with my husband. This is my dream, and I'm okay if nobody else likes it, but I'm going to do it anyway. What was that journey like for you? Because if I know anything, it's not always easy. And I would just love to hear your words of wisdom through that journey.
I think I've been around some really amazing entrepreneurial women that have, just talked about different things in their life that they are outsourcing, and that balance. And so I would say getting around like women who are in the next phase of life as you. And I think I really do believe that those small outsourcing tasks that we did early on our business were really monumental for me in my personal life, and knowing that I do have a drive to be a partner in the business with Stephen. Like we've just learned over the years, like, we're better together, and our
son's
rising, and it's like, it's okay that he's downstairs right now with our incredible, amazing nanny who's taking such good care of him while I can be freed up to do this and other things. So I do think that when those lies and that mom shame of you can't do this if you're the, you know, like what you just shared, I think it's just, no, like I know that I'm called to do this, and I want to be a powerful business owner and a mom, and you can do both. And it's just, you know, scheduling out the day. So like, this is work time, and now I'm a mom. And I think for me, having space where I know that from this time to this time, our nanny's here, so I'm going to get a lot of work done. I'm going to be focused. And then when that time is up, I am fully in mom mode. My phone is down. I'm not answering emails. And so I think that has helped me not have the guilt of like trying to balance being in both worlds. You know?
Oh, that's so powerful because it's one of those things that, you know, we all want to do everything, but like you said earlier, you know, creating those monumental small steps in the beginning just led to so much more. And, you know, I talked about it with, I think it was Esprit, DeNova back in a couple other episodes, but talking about like putting on that mom hat, you know, like I'm wearing the business hat right now, and then I'm going to put on the mom hat, and that's what I'm wearing. We can have 10 different baseball caps, but we don't wear them all at the same time. We wear them one at a time, and you rock it every time you wear it. So hopefully a word of just encouragement to the woman out there that's, you know, kind of figuring out what those monumental, you know, steps are for her. That's just such a testimony, Chelsea. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think another amazing thing I would love to, you know, dive into is, you know, you talk about balance, but I think more of it is even harmony. Because sometimes you are going to give more to the business, but you know that you're going to have your mom time later or your dad time later, Stephen. You know, what was that like? You know, your whole brand, you know, kind of Rainmakers Academy, you're dominating nap time. How did you come up with this whole idea? Yes, it was to bring back your time and harness, you know, the priorities in your life. But like, what was that initial thought like? Wow, we should do something that really empowers women to do this during nap time. Like, what was that like? Because so many times it's like creative entrepreneurs are out there, but they don't chase after their idea. And so like, I would just love to know what that was like when you're like, you know what, we're going to just do this. We're going to just try. And how was that?
Yeah. The nap time kind of slogan for us. So we, you know, our thing is, hey, we'll show you how to create a six-figure side hustle during nap time. That literally came from one of our students. So that was like a testimonial of hers. And we were like, that's amazing. We're going to use that.
Yeah, totally.
It was before like we were parents and before I was pregnant, like starting a family was on the horizon, but it wasn't there yet. So I think we learned from our students, but also just having that desire before we had kids wanting to set that up.
So. Yeah, like we always wanted, you know, when we did have kids to be able to, you know, like Chelsea said, fully to continue running our business baby, but also fully be invested in our family and in our kids' lives and be able to be like, oh, well, if we want to take off today, we'll just take off today and just be with family. If we want to hustle today, we can hustle today. But the whole like stay at home mom, helping stay at home moms really thrive online came from really just looking at our case studies. So when we started this whole Amazon FBA journey, so what we do specifically is help people launch e-commerce brands, so physical product brands on Amazon, and kind of leverage Amazon's already kind of ecosystem to make the process passive. And so when we started doing this, we started just teaching other people what we were doing. We're just sharing our journey. We started noticing trends in our community. We're like, wow, it's all these moms coming in. It's all these, you know, moms with young families, young kids coming in. They're building the business during nap time. And we did have other, we have a pretty diverse group within Rainmakers as far as age groups and genders and all the things. But when we started looking at the success stories, it was moms. It was these young moms. And we're like, that's kind of, we call this one of our mentors. He calls this their field of favor. You know, look at your field of favor, where you have favor, like who is the who that you really shine brightest for and see the biggest results for. And when we kind of started noticing that, he was advising us, hey, you should just go all in for that person. And I think this is a good strategy for anyone listening, because it was really a key breakthrough for us is like, when you narrow down your audience, like your target market, let's say for your business, like who you serve, when you narrow it down so tight that you're the only person that really fits in that niche, you become the best in the world, like just automatically. If you're like the only person who like serves that who at the highest level, like you become the best in the world for that who. And it makes spreading your message, spreading your, you know, impact a lot easier, because when someone thinks of, you know, tissue for your nose, they think Kleenex, right? It's like they define the thing. They were the only people, you know, it's probably not the best analogy, but we want to be that for moms who want to launch on Amazon. It's like Rainmakers, you know, we want them to think of us. And so it's so tempting to kind of focus on the lack instead of the abundance. We're really big in Rainmakers about helping people focus on the abundance and not kind of partnering with a poverty mindset about things. And so when I say that to people, a lot of business owners, they're like, well, my product's awesome. It's for everyone. I just want it to be for everyone, you know? And it probably is awesome for everyone. Like our program, anyone could come in, and still people come in who aren't stay-at-home moms. But the secret is when you lean in and you really go after that one person, it really just takes off a lot faster. And then it will naturally expand. But you don't want to limit yourself by saying like, oh, there's not enough people in that small little niche, because there really are. The world is a very big place. Mm. And there's a lot of power in just focusing.
Absolutely. Well, and it allows you to truly execute in the greatest power that you have. Because instead of, you know, I always like to, you know, create like a wave, you know, versus a laser, you're going to end up being, you know, spread out to the point where you're not going to have that same level of impact, whereas a laser can be deadly because it's just that good. So it's one of those things where I just love that analogy that you applied. And people are scared to niche down, whatever you want to call it. The whole market knows what we're talking about. You know, focus on your target client and create that avatar that you can serve at the highest level. And if you don't know who it is, like Stephen and Chelsea did, they kind of just discovered that, you know, area of favor, you know, over time. And you have to be willing to, you know, so many times people are like, no, I want to serve this, but it's actually not where they shine brightest. It's just kind of that mental block. I just love that you guys were so receiving of what it was that kind of showed forth in your case studies. It was like, wow, this is our calling. This is what we're supposed to do. You know, the proof is in the pudding. This is what we got. Okay, well, let's go all in. So I love that that was not something that you looked at as like, oh, that's not what we wanted. We wanted mass impact. You were like, wow, we are killing it for these queens. Let's dominate. Let's go all in. I just love that that was the way that you responded. And hopefully just encouragement for someone else that's like maybe on that fence where they're like, oh, I really wanted to serve these people, but I guess it's these people that want me. Don't be discouraged by that. Be so inspired, because those are going to be your people. You know, your tribe is so powerful. And, you know, even like Chelsea said earlier, you know, finding yourself in the proximity and power of the people that are encouraging you, it also counts as your students, because they're looking up to you. They're looking to you for guidance. And, you know, not that you know everything, but you're supporting them on that growth journey as well. So that's just so, so important to keep in mind. And I think Chelsea and Stephen have done just a remarkable job of keeping that as the focus. How can we impact to the greatest level and highest level in what we do, which is creating a massive empire on Amazon with mommies across the world. So I just love that so much. With the fact that like the business has grown and changed, like I would love to hear, like in the grand scheme of things, how did 2020 turn out for you guys? Like it probably wasn't super different because you were really virtual at that point, it sounds like, but give me a little insight to what 2020 looked like for you guys.
Yeah. 2020 was like our best year ever. Which, you know,
okay.
Yeah. It's funny, like in our circle, people clap, but like, you can't share that in every circle because you know, there were a lot of people that had a really hard year, but I truly feel God like set us up for it because like, I mean, we had this whole thing set up and then like everyone's at home. We're teaching people how to run a stay at home business and then everyone's at home, you know? So,
right.
It was truly a, like, not just a blessing for our family, but like a blessing for so many families that came into our world. I mean, we did a launch, like one of our biggest launches, right before kind of the whole COVID craziness started happening in March. So we did launch in February. This group comes in, 2020 is going to be my year, you know? And then like the world totally changed, you know, like a month later.
Imagine. Oh my gosh. Like, how cool.
So it really became like, we're not just teaching people Amazon. We are like, I mean, we really see our community as like, we're kind of the father and mother and really just, you know, teaching our family how to just be a family. And so there was a lot of stuff we worked through with our community that weren't just about money. I think money is a great conversation starter because it brings out the heart stuff, but we really were, you know, leaning into like, okay, there's scarcity in the air right now. Everyone's grabbing toilet paper. How do we as a community choose the opposite greater? How can we come in a generosity spirit and break the power of scarcity over our lives, you know? And so just leading people through the kind of the desert season, let's say, and helping them just choose into community. And, you know, that was really powerful. And in the midst of it, just seeing people launch businesses and thrive and God totally set them up too, you know, like it's like they launched their Amazon product and then their husband loses a job the next week, you know? And it's like, if we didn't have this thing set up, like if we didn't do this thing, like, I don't know what, you know? And so it was super cool to see just kind of the miraculous nature of just, you know, people choosing in, investing in themselves and taking action. And in the midst of kind of craziness, I think like one of the best times to invest in yourself is in a season of like, you know, craziness, because a lot of people hold back. A lot of people like are like kind of hold on to their resources. Yep. But I truly think it's the people who kind of they plant in that season, right? It's like the, I mean, there's so many, you know, so many stories of people, companies that were just birthed in recessions and like, absolutely, you know, in the craziness, and, you know, people like Warren Buffett who just wait for opportunities to just go boom, you know? And, and so seeing people take that big step of faith in a season of craziness, and seeing the results, I think that it's been the most powerful year, for testimonials this year within our community.
Oh, that's so incredible. And it's one of those things is, you know, I think many people on the show already know, but it's one of those things. I almost passed away this year due to a crazy fever, but it's one of those things where no time is guaranteed. And so for like you, the story you're sharing, whether you're faced with, you know, the issues of health or your finances or whatever the case it is, if you've got an opportunity before you to invest in yourself, to level up, to grow for the benefit of your family, for yourself, you know, it's just one of those things where why the heck not now? Why not now? I mean, back last year, it was supposed to be 2 weeks that we were going to be quarantined, and here we are almost a whole year afterwards. So like nobody knew that this was going to be the case, but look at the people that probably started with you guys last February, like you said, with launch, like where they were to where they are, like, holy smokes. Like, I don't know. I just think that's something that totally needs to be celebrated and hopefully inspired again. We don't know how much longer this is going to go on, you guys. You don't know how much longer you've got to, you know, like put your message out there or fulfill your purpose. So get after it. Oh my gosh. I love that Stephen and Chelsea, you know, open themselves up to that even without knowing that the recession and, you know, not necessarily recession, but like the pandemic and all of that affected people in a different way than them, but they opened themselves up to be like, how can we serve in this time? Because it was very negative for many people. And so to have that light from you guys is just, it's so powerful. And I think, one point that you made, Stephen, that I just want to touch on is, you said, you know, money is a great, you know, conversation starter. I think wealth is so much more than income, and it comes from, I think Tony Robbins said it, if I'm not mistaken, wealth is also emotion and, you know, happiness and joy. And that's what you guys were after in the whole first place. It wasn't finances. It was the joy of being your, having your time back, being in charge of your schedule and embracing the life that you were creating together for yourselves, for your family and, you know, your legacy there beyond. So I just love that that's kind of a common unstated thread that's been going through this entire podcast. So I just had to kind of bring that to light in case other people were missing that. But no, it's super, super incredible. And I would love for people to know with Amazon and, you know, other opportunities online, how has it been for you to have those testimonials? You said it's been the greatest year. Like having those results is the greatest currency online, in my opinion. And so for people that are worried about the scams, worried about being taken advantage of, like, how would you encourage them to get over that mind block? You know, they can see the proof, they can hear you and me talking right now, but like, if they're still scared, which is totally understandable, what would be the one word of encouragement that you would be like, hey, search yourself out for this? Or what would you encourage them to heal through? Because it's probably because they were burned another time, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a conversation in our Rainmaker community recently. And this amazing woman, her name's Deb, she got on. And we were having a conversation and she was just sharing about like the what ifs that happened in the world, in our lives. And she's been a music teacher for the last like 40 years. And like our program, and it was just like, I wanna, I'm coming to my retirement, but I still wanted to have something and do something and work towards it. And she just said, like, in life, there's always gonna be what ifs. And there's two sides to the what ifs. You can focus on the what if this fails, what if I'm scammed, what if this isn't true? Or you can focus on what if this is like the best thing I could have ever done for myself.
Powerful. Dang.
On what if this, these people that I connect with, what if this business takes me into crazy adventures, into things I never thought possible. And she just spoke with such authority and wisdom. And so I have been chewing on that so much because in life there's so what ifs.
Yes.
There are clear warning signs and you gotta be smart and use wisdom, but people are so held back by fear. And I think have to like wrestle through it and come to the root of like, why am I afraid to do this? What is holding me back? And how do I, it's just a choice. It's a daily reminder when those what ifs come in of the fear, imposter syndrome, whatever it is, you just have to push back and say, no, like I am going to do this. I'm going to put in the work and push past that.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. So good. Oh, so good. We're on a wave, Stephen. I love it. So powerful. And the thing is like you said, Chelsea, the what ifs are going to be here forever. So either we're going to choose to be one way, or we're going to choose to be, you know, looking towards abundance or looking away from abundance, and realizing that that's just a choice that we make. No one can make that for us. So we kind of got to be stuck and allow ourselves to kind of grow through that space. That's so powerful. So with, you know, everything that you guys are creating together, what is like the goal for 2021? Are you guys looking to, you know, I mean, you're expanding your online footprint just immensely. So I know that's part of the thing, but are you guys working on a show, challenges? What are you guys up to that we can encourage our listeners to follow you guys?
Yeah. I'll tell you like the immediate stuff, and then I'll tell you the big dream. Cause I like the big dream.
Yes.
You know, it's always changing. We try to plan like 5-year goals, cause it's like so much changes in literally a year. Like it's true. If you talked to us a year ago today, we would have no idea the level of our business and the people we've been impact. So we try and keep our goals open-ended, but we like to dream big. So
I love it.
I would say immediate stuff that we're playing around with. We're really going all in on YouTube and podcasts this year. So you can definitely find us, just search the Rainmaker Family on either platform. The podcast is not out yet, but we're practicing right here, you know?
Yes.
We did outsource it. We practice what we preach. We got a gal. She's awesome. She'll do all the podcast stuff, all the social media. So that's awesome. And then we're doing YouTube videos about just how to create income online, different methods. The next big thing we're doing in our business is our challenge. So we do these 7-day experiences where we take people through a 7-day process of just figuring out, is this the right business for you, basically? Because there are a lot of people out there in the Amazon space who will just go off and sell you a $10,000 course. And then you figure out, oh, wow, this isn't for me, you know, like, and exactly. So we don't want that to happen. So we basically low cost, $27, 7 days of training with us. And it's a really great qualifier to see, like, is this a good, like, am I getting fired up for this challenge, or am I like dropping off at day 3, you know? So it's not an online course. You don't get it forever. So you have 7 days to complete the videos, and we do it live with you and kind of show people the whole process. But it's a really, like, since we started doing these challenges in 2019, we've seen the success rate go through the roof with students who come through the challenge, because it does that. It really teaches people, is this good for me, or should I look at some other opportunity? Like, am I wired for this or not? So we call it the taste and see method. You know, you could
Like
Costco method. You get to try the sample before.
So smart. Yes. Qualified people that come into it. So then they're all fired up, and it's not like you have other people bringing down the group. It's you're actually all in it. And that's so, so powerful. I love that, Stephen.
And then the big dream that we've been chewing on is we really want to create basically an ecosystem with its own eternal economy that is totally recession proof. So basically, no matter what happens in the economy, our economy of moms thrives because they support one another. And so how we're doing that is we're empowering moms within our community to create income in a lot of different ways within our community. So becoming coaches for one another, or, you know, hey, oh, you're an expert at, you know, real estate or doing Kindle direct publishing. Why don't you create a course for our community? Because we already have thousands of moms in this community, and just, we're basically creating a marketplace within our community for our Rainmakers to support one another. And they're already doing this, selling, so you know, powerful. Basically selling each other's products. We're doing this crazy thing right now where someone will launch a product on Amazon, and then a ton of Rainmakers, our other moms, will go take that product and sell it on Facebook Marketplace. So when an order comes in on Facebook Marketplace, they go to Amazon, just order it from our Rainmaker, and they just charge a little bit more, like $5, $10 on Marketplace. And so like everyone's supporting everyone. And it's so magical to see the community just rally for one another. And so that's the dream, is that we want to basically create a system where it's like, if you're a mom, you want to create income online, like this is the go-to place. Amazon is kind of the first like recommended quick win, but the ultimate dream is this is really a place we'll have a lot of options. So, you know, at some point, hey, you want to do real estate, you want to do this, you want to do that. We have experts in all these areas within our ecosystem to help you take action.
Built with relationships and results and just incredible people all the way around. What a beautiful vision. And I can't wait to see it come to fruition. That is so powerful, you guys. The thing about entrepreneurs that I love and I'm so humbled to interview, you know, almost every single day is that there's so much more to the picture. You know, originally people are like, oh yeah, they've got, you know, how many thousand followers on Instagram, blah, 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 blah. They'd sell stuff on Amazon. Like, just to hear the heart and soul of what's actually going on behind the scenes, I think this is so valuable. And I'm so grateful that you shared just the massive vision with us, because I think that's so powerful for someone that has that vision and they're scared to share it, scared to build it. People are doing it every single day and you're not alone. And it is important and it could totally change someone's life, just like Stephen and Chelsea are changing the lives of moms around the world. That's so incredible. I would love to ask one last favor before we jump off here. I value you guys' time. For people in 2021, what would be a piece of advice that you would leave for them moving forward to look and focus on abundance and all things good?
I think like the biggest thing that really served us in 2020 was, you could definitely take with you into 2021, is really just taking a step back and being sensitive to kind of the atmosphere in the world, because there's a lot of stuff floating around, right? Like the media and the neighbors next door saying this stuff and that stuff, you know, and really figuring out, hey, what do I really want to partner with? Because it's kind of like that what if cycle that Chelsea was talking about, because what you focus on really does multiply. And we're big believers in just like the power of your words, the power of your mindset. It really will take you where you're focusing and saying. And so just becoming sensitive to what's out there, and then learning to, we call it coming in an opposite greater spirit, you know? So Like I gave that example of there is scarcity. Everyone's buying all the toilet paper. Everyone's like, you know, hoarding. Break that and not partner with it. If you know, we did buy some toilet paper, but what we did instead was we started calling all the businesses in Chico and saying, hey, you're shutting doors for a little bit. Would you donate your toilet paper? Could we buy your toilet paper from you so that we could give it away to people? So we tried to come in an opposite greater spirit of generosity. And so that broke the scarcity off of us and being like, we're not going to partner with that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever's in the air, just be sensitive to it. And like, if it's fear, if it's scarcity, if it's any of these negative emotions, how can you actually come against it in an opposite greater? Because light will always outshine darkness. You know, you can't have like a room with a candle in it and just like overpower the darkness and make the candle go away. Like a candle, you can see, I think it's 7 or 11 or something crazy miles away in complete darkness. It's pretty amazing. And light has so much more power. And same thing with these positive emotions and positive focus and focusing on abundance instead of lack. These things will just totally destroy the negative and overpower them in such a good way. And when you start doing that, when you start living that way and just being sensitive to like what you're really partnering with, what you're thinking, what you're saying, it'll start functioning in what you're doing. And in the people's lives around you, it's very contagious. So that's the number one thing that I think in 2020, we really leaned into, even in family and raising a son. You know, it's been such a powerful concept to help us, because the initial reaction is to partner with whatever it is. Someone comes at you and they're all hate. You kind of want to come back and, you know, hate back. But if you can just take a breather, take a step back and say, how can I come in love? You know, it totally will shift everything for you.
I think that's a huge, huge point for everyone just to realize, you know, maybe even in quarantine and all the slowdown that we've had to experience, how can I use that for me? And I see Chelsea smiling next to you, just being like, yep, this is it, you guys, like, that's the difference. And so for you just to hear from all of us, taking that step, allowing the quiet to give you the opportunity to come forward in the best version of yourself for whatever that situation is, such a testimony to what you can create in 2021. Stephen and Chelsea, thank you so much for being on the show. It was just such a privilege to have you here with Virtually Limitless.
Yes, thank you. We're honored to be here.
Oh, it was so incredible. And I can't wait to see all that you guys complete in 2021. Virtually Limitless, be sure to check us next time for the great episodes coming soon.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.